The question has been raised with regard to the meaning of the term soul, which is a very important term, obviously, which we use a great deal in discussing Torah. Fundamentally, we talk about the perfection of the soul, that the objective of human existence is the perfection of the soul. The hallmark of a perfected person would be, insofar as he's achieved a certain degree in terms of the perfection of the soul, which manifests itself in his conduct and of his affairs in this world, and that's what we maintain is the basis of eternal life, the perfection of the soul. So we're maintaining that the human being is comprised of more than the physical, instinctual, and psychological elements, that there's another part of that person, which is a part, which is not, doesn't have any source in terms of the instinctual makeup. And that has been described as the prime mover of the person. The prime mover of the person, I'm going to describe it loosely, so to speak, to try and gain some understanding here, is that each person has a certain reality principle, so to speak. Everybody lives their life in terms of a certain objective, a certain goal. They're in pursuit of something. That's their prime mover. For example, a person that's devoting all of his energies to the pursuit of wealth or to the pursuit of power. So they're bound up with that idea, whether they thought it through or not thought it through. Deep within them, there is a certain conviction that this is it, this is real, this is the good. Everybody is living their life in accordance with some concept of the good. Everybody's pursuing the good. The good that they're pursuing may not, in fact, be, objectively speaking, the good, but in their own psyche, that's what they believe in. They believe in something. That element in man, the soul, to the extent that it is embracing the ultimate good, the ultimate truth, and is moving in that direction, that's the prime mover. The prime mover of the individual is the desire for the real good, not what the person imagines to be good or what the person feels to be good, but that which the mind dictates is the true good. The only way the person can have a knowledge as to what is the true good as opposed to what I'm feeling is through the avenue of mind. Because the person has to recognize that the only thing that connects a human being to any objective reality is the mind. That's a very, very important point. This is not something which is even debatable. While it's true that to a certain extent the person can have an intuition, a person can have an instinct, have a certain feeling about something, that's very, very limited and that's very deceptive. No progress has been made in history by the utilization of emotional feeling, the application of emotion to a problem. All progress that has been made by putting aside emotion and studying the phenomena through the categories that operate within the mind, through scientific categories, through evidence, through reason, through logic. These are the tools with which the person is endowed, and these are the only ones which give him a connection to reality. That's not debatable in any way, shape, or form. Therefore, any intelligent person, any sane person, has to acknowledge that the only way to get in touch with an objective reality is through the utilization of the mind. Thus, the soul is cognizant of that. To the extent that the soul desires to be in line with the truth, with the real good, it has to make a decision. Does it align itself with that part of the psyche which is based upon subjectivism, which is based upon emotion, which is based upon feeling. That is indeed what most people do. For most people, the prime mover of their lives in the arena of values and choices and what they want to do, what they're pursuing, is how they feel. They take their feelings and elevate those feelings and make them the arbiters of what is real. And the soul aligns itself with the feelings. To the extent that the soul aligns itself with the feelings and allow the emotions to dictate what it's going to pursue in this world, to that extent, the soul is cut off from reality and cut off from the true good. To the extent that the person, the soul, separates itself from that which is appealing emotionally, to the extent that it aligns itself with the world of knowledge and ideas, with the mind, with truth, and it directs itself towards the pursuit of the truth. So that's the perfected soul. That soul, when it mobilizes all the energy at its disposal in terms of the physical existence, in terms of the psyche, will produce a perfected individual in terms of the way a person lives their life in this world, in the physical existence, in the context of the physical existence. Because everything that the person is doing, organizing their life, directing their affairs in terms of physical existence, because that's something that can't be avoided. It's God's will that we should manifest, that the divine element, so to speak, should manifest itself in the context of a physical existence, of a human being and a society and needs, and constructing a life in that framework, which, however, is directed towards some ultimate good. And therefore, when we speak about an individual who has obtained a tremendous amount of conceptual understanding, and yet who, in terms of the person's behavior, does not act in accordance with the understanding that they have. Chazal speak about this phenomenon, that their knowledge far exceeds their fear, or their knowledge far exceeds their deeds. There is a conflict. It means to say that that knowledge hasn't penetrated to the depths, so to speak, of their soul. There is a dichotomy. The soul has to make a decision as to what is going to be the prime mover, what is going to be the determinant. Is the determinant some instinctual objective or gratification, desire? And therefore, it is only utilizing knowledge. The person can be brilliant, and it's utilizing knowledge in order to achieve the instinctual. In that case, it is the instinctual element which would be the prime mover. That would be responsible for what we would call the corruption of the soul. The soul is supposed to be able to identify that which is real, that which is true. And the only way, as we've established, that that can be done is through the mind. The mind is the only instrument that we possess which connects us to objective reality. The basic conflict that everybody faces when we speak about a conflict, which is unavoidable, and in which Bechira, free choice, comes into the picture, is, on one level, one can say it's a conflict between what the person knows, knowledge, and emotion, what the person feels. But it's a little bit more complicated than that, because the emotions, the way they operate in a person, it's not simply that a person has a powerful emotion. And then the question is, can he overcome the emotion? It's more complicated than that, because the emotion has a way of convincing the person. Chazal speak about that, how the Yetzer Hara deceives a person. When a person has a powerful desire for something, then all of the forces of the mind are now marshaled on the side of the emotion, and they're totally involved in rationalization, in convincing the person that he must have this, that this is really good, that he can't live without this. That's the real conflict. The conflict is not simply between a case where a person knows what is good and is just attracted to something. When a person is attracted to something, a person can be attracted to a very beautiful woman, the most powerful attraction, and believe that he really wants her very much. But if he should find out that this woman is crazy, this woman is a killer, or this woman has AIDS, or something of that sort, then it's not going to be too difficult to overcome that attraction. The attraction is going to dissolve pretty quickly. So what's happening over here is that it's not just the attraction, but it's a certain seduction of the mind. The mind is being seduced into believing that this is really the good. And once a person is convinced that something is the good, he has no defense against it. He has to go after it. That's what takes place in Gan Eden, when the snake seduces the woman into believing the contrary to what God has said, that eating from the tree would really be very good. The knowledge, you'll obtain the knowledge of good and evil, that would be something, that's the ultimate good, and by not having that, you're being deprived of the ultimate good. That's really the conflict between the two. A person has to make their decision as to what the ultimate good is, based upon what factor, based upon a differentiation between those two forces. That's why it's very, very difficult, because they're very subtle forces. A person has to know to recognize this is emotion speaking. This is desire speaking. This is lust speaking. This is not the mind. The mind is being employed by the forces of lust, as opposed to recognizing where the mind is being objective, objective reality. You have to learn, to first and foremost, to differentiate between objective reality and between rationalization, the process of rationalization which goes on within each and every one of us. To learn how to differentiate between the two, and then to choose the truth. To choose to operate in accordance with the truth, even though it goes absolutely contrary to one's emotions, that's the difficulty of the choice that a person has in this world.